Now we really have to be about the Father's business because it's past time. It's really past time. And as we look around about us, you know, we see more and more where people use any kind of since COVID, people have gotten used to sitting at home and not going to church, and they sort of like that. And so that's what they've done. And I don't know about you, but I like the fellowship. This just sitting at home by yourself looking at a screen doesn't cut it for me. Yeah, it's just, I want to be there among the people. I want to feel the anointing with the people. And I want to, when I sing, I want to hear the other voices around me singing. Yeah, it's just different, isn't it? I know God said that church wouldn't be as usual, but no, and I hope this isn't it. Because this is deadness, so it is. We need life. This isn't a good example for the younger people. It really isn't, because now they see, oh well, here's these parents who profess to love Jesus, and now they're sitting at home, not even getting dressed, just getting a little house coat and their coffee, and go and sit in front of the TV or whatever, you know, your computer, and watch Christian shows, preaching, whatever you call it. That's not a good example. We're trying to get our children moving and get them out on the streets and get them to witness to the other children, and you can't do that sitting in your home. I don't know why I'm on this little kick, but we'll just let God go, right? You know, and we got to watch, because grown-ups, we are not drawing our children to Christ. We're pushing our kids away from Christ. And we need to watch what we're doing, and we need to be very careful how we're doing it, and we need to make sure that we're doing it in Christ. You guys who live by yourselves, you just have the best of two worlds. You can pray when you want to, you can sing when you want to, you can dance when you want to, you know, and you can be quiet when you want to, nobody to disturb you. And I had that for a couple of years, and that was good. You draw closer to God when you're by yourself. You know, it's just a good thing. But everybody can't live alone. And so we have to make sure that we're so full of the Spirit that our anointing will seep out of us onto other people. All right? Well, Father, I just thank you and I praise you. Satan, you have no rule and no reign in this church service. Nobody invited you, and even if they did, we're kicking you out right now in the name of Jesus. We are here because we want to sit in the presence of our Father, and we don't want you harassing us. We don't want you doing your thing. So right now, in the name of Jesus, we bind and we rebuke every spirit of darkness that's trying to hinder what God's getting ready to do here this morning. And Father, I just thank you for those who did come out to sit in your presence and to be fed fresh manna from heaven. And Father, as they sit at your table this morning, I'm asking you, God, to do a great and a mighty works within their beings. Whatever they have need of, Father, I'm believing with every fiber of my being that by the time they leave here today, they're going to know that their need has been met. And Father, we just thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, God said, I am that I am. All right. God said, in the midst of all the confusion, I am. The great I am never forsakes his children. If you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, you are mine. There is never a storm that will blow you off course. Every storm makes you stronger and more secure in me. Now let's read that again. In the midst of all the confusion, I am. The great I am never forsakes his children. If you are washed in the blood of the Lamb, you are mine. There is never a storm that will blow you off course. See, there is never a storm that will blow you off course. Every storm makes you stronger and more secure in me. And Luke 22:31 said, Simon, Simon, it was Peter, listen, Satan has asked excessively that all of you, be given up to him, not just Peter, but all the disciples. Out of the power and keeping of God, Satan wants Peter and all the disciples to be given over to him where the power of God cannot touch him. That he might sift all of you like grain. But I have prayed especially for you, Peter, that your own faith may not fail, and when you yourself have turned again, strengthen and establish your brethren. See, it wasn't just Peter that Satan was after. He was after all the disciples. And Simon Peter said to Jesus, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. But Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, before a single cock shall crow this day, you will three times utterly deny that you know me. And see, God said, when you return, strengthen your brethren. He knew he was going to fall. And I can just about, I really believe that about everybody that you talk to has fallen at one point or another away from their father, their walk with God. So don't look at somebody and say, oh, well, look at them. Well, you need to start watching yourself. You need to think about where you came from and what you went through and how did you go through each and every trial. All right? God said, many times the enemy has asked for you to sift you as wheat. I have allowed the sifting because you need character to stay in the fight. You need stability if you're going to continue on this journey with me. Each sifting makes you stronger and more determined to stay in the race. Because of the siftings, you become the strong towers that others can run into. So, all these little trials and tests and tribulations are siftings that's supposed to be making us more stable, stronger for others that they can run into. Now, a strong tower is an emotionally strong person who gives a lot of support or help during difficult times. God said, I watch over you continually. I hear your cries. I see you as you battle doubt and unbelief. I see you as you try to figure out why the thorn in the flesh has not gone away. I see you as you try to figure out what this is all about. You see, little ones, I watch over you continually. I make sure the enemy is not getting the upper hand in your walk with me. And you can read Psalms 121, 1 through 8, and you'll find that there. God said, let's take a look at Job. And that's in chapter 30 of Job. And God said, did he always stay confident? Did he question why he was going through all that he went through? He knew that he walked upright before me, and he never for one moment thought he would be tested to the core of his being. How many of us feel that way? God said, I blessed him beyond measure, and it was easy for him to serve me. But when I allowed the sifting, it was hard to understand why I was allowing this. Now, this is neat how God's explaining all this. He knew that I had a hand in the sifting. You know, Job knew that God had a hand in the sifting, but he did not know why. Finally, he just gave in to the heartache and pain and kept serving me. At that point, he was healed and all things were restored back into his bosom. Now, in a similar way as the Father's fierceness concerning Jesus' trials was necessary for the salvation of mankind, you know, Jesus had to do what he had to go through. So for our salvation, Job's afflictions were likewise necessary for his own ultimate benefit. So guys, everything that God allows us to go through is for our benefit. It's to grow us up and to strengthen us so we can be a strong tower that others can run into. I can guarantee you, if you didn't have to go through some of your trials and tribulations that you went through, you wouldn't be as strong as you are today. You'd still be sitting around just doing nothing. In Job chapter 42, verse 1 says, then Job answered the Lord, I know you can do everything. You make plans and nothing can change or stop them. You ask, who is this ignorant person saying these foolish things? I talked about things I did not understand. I talked about things too amazing for me to know. You said to me, listen, and I will speak. I will ask you questions and you will answer me. In the past, I heard about you, and Job saying to God, in the past, I heard about you, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. And I'm ashamed of myself. I am so sorry. As I sit in the dust and ashes, I promise to change my heart and my life. So, you know, sometimes in your siftings, you see God in a new manner. You see him in a way you've never seen him before. And if you really look at all the siftings that you've been going through, each time you see a different character of God and why he is allowing you to go through these things. And Job said, and I am ashamed of myself. You know, we question God just like Job did. And we get all befuddled just like Job did. And Job said, I am ashamed of myself. I am so sorry. As I sit in the dust and ashes, I promise to change my heart and my life. In other words, he's still being sifted, but he's promised God, even through the sifting, he's going to change his life. God said, children, you must realize that I have a reason for everything I allow you to go through. You must realize that I know what you need to keep you strong and flexible. I know what it takes to get you where I need you to be. And you can find that in 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 through 20. God said, how can you grow strong if you never need to flex your muscles? How can you grow a testimony if there is never a test? Children, quit being gullible. Quit allowing the enemy make you believe I don't love you. Quit allowing him to kill, steal, and destroy your miracle that is in the making. Quit allowing the enemy make you believe I don't love you. And a lot of people still think God doesn't love them. Quit allowing him to kill, steal, and destroy your miracle that is in the making. Quit, little ones, just plain quit playing into the hands of the enemy. We have done that over and over and over again, and it's time we stop. And God says, spend your time thinking on the things above and not on the things that are going on around about you. You'll find that in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. How many times do I need to say, do not look at your circumstances? You find that in 2 Corinthians 4:18. How many times do I have to say, you are mine? That's 2 Timothy 2:19. Children, do you still not know the tactics of the enemy? How many times do I need to say I am for you and not against you? You find that in Isaiah 41:10 through 13 and Ezekiel 36:9. God said, when are you finally going to just believe? Not because of what you see, hear, or feel, but just because you know your Father. You hear that? When are you going to finally just believe? God said, you see, if you truly knew your Father, you would never question him. You would always be standing in the victory circle rejoicing with me. Your book is being played out. The events in the book are happening right on time. I knew these things were going to happen from the very beginning, and I had the way prepared for you to walk them out. See, we're the ones that mess up. And then we're just like the children in the desert. God said, I am not a haphazard father who ignores the issues of your lives. I am a loving, caring father who diligently works out each and every event. And Romans 8:14-17 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. This is why God said we have to be walking in the Spirit. We have to be led by the Spirit, because if we're not, we are not children of God. Because we're walking in our flesh. And we can't do anything in our flesh. And you find that in John 16, verses 13 through 15. God said, my Holy Spirit was given to you to lead, guide, and direct each and every footstep. It is not his fault if you decide to take a side road for a season. But he is always there when you are ready to come back on the straight and narrow path. So you're the ones who take the side road. The Holy Spirit doesn't. God doesn't. But we blame everybody but ourselves, don't we? When things don't go right, when we decide to do our own thing in our own flesh, and then everything goes wrong, then we blame everybody but ourselves. And we need to start blaming ourselves for our fleshly acts. You find that in Matthew 7:13. All right, God said, what does my word say about this path? Matthew 7:13 says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Now, one time I was ministering to a young lady at the altar, and God said to her, the road is wide. Why don't you walk that wide road? And I knew that this scripture was there and that was strong. But God said, once you get on the narrow, and that, I asked him about it later with her, because she's my praise and worship leader. And God said, once you go through that narrow gate, then it becomes wide because you have freedom once you go through the narrow gate. Because when you go through the narrow gate, you've gotten rid of all your flesh and all the other junk, and all you want to do is serve God. So then you go through that narrow gate and get into that wide place and just have a good time with the Father. Amen. But very few give up their life to find the narrow gate. They're all looking for that wide road that leads to destruction. Does that make sense to you? Now, God said, few find it. How is it that it tells you few find it? Why do they have to look for it? That road has always been before your feet. But the enemy came and pulled on you and you followed him. That's why you're looking. God said, I'm calling you back onto the straight and narrow path. I need you to be on that path and to pull others to that path also. My children, what lies ahead for the entire world will need total commitment to me. My children, what lies ahead for the entire world will need total commitment to me. You will not be able to look to the left nor the right. Your eyes will need to be fastened upon the rock and only on the rock of salvation. Guys, we can no longer just go out there and do what we want to do. We have to be walking that straight and narrow path. We have to be doing the things God's calling us for to do. We have to be strong and secure in our walk with God. It's just that simple. And I'm not seeing that in the house of God. You know, one day up, one day down. One day it's God, next day it's not God. You know, in 1 second you're this way and next second you're that way. Excuse me. That is not God. And you know, if you show that, if you're trying to win somebody to Christ, and you show them that kind of wishy-washy walk that you have, you are not going to win anybody to Christ. You know, and right now God's trying to pull families together, right? I've never seen such a mess in families in all my life as I have right now. And you know, they want to run all over you. And if you stand up to take your authority back, right away you're a hypocrite. You know, and who do people think they are that they can come into your space and take over your space and them tell you how to live? And that's going on in a lot of places. And some of you, I know that you have your children who are doing that. You know, they instead of them listening to what you have to say, they're telling you what they're going to do. And they want you to receive them in their ugliness, but they don't want to receive Christ that's in you. Amen. And the harder you try to get your family back together, the harder the enemy's fighting. He's fighting with everything he has, trying to destroy the families. I wish that you would get that in your head, you know, the church, that instead of you tearing your families, allowing the enemy to tear your families apart, you would be doing your job and that is praying, binding the spirits of darkness that's trying to separate and divide and shred your families and make him leave instead of him trying to make you leave. All right? God said, many in the valley of decision, you need to be committed to me so that you could pull them to me. Now, total commitment is presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. Being a sacrifice is surrendering ourselves to the Lord. It is putting the Lord first in our life. It is making him our priority. That's what total commitment to God is. Romans 12:1-2. I was talking to somebody last week, and I said, well, the Word of God tells me that if you don't leave your father and your brother, your sister and your mother, you can't be one of God's children. You know, they were questioning, well, my mom and my daddy don't believe this, don't believe that. But I said, you have to stand your ground with God. And if they're trying to get you to leave God, then you can't, not unless you want to, but you really and truly can't do that and remain a child of God. And if you're really a child of God, you've been fought ever since you've been born again by family members or close friends, because the enemy's going to use whoever he can to pull you out of the hands of the Father. Remember what I said, we're in a tug of war. Satan's pulling this way, God's pulling this way. It's up to me who wins this tug of war. That's what God told me. It's up to you who wins this tug of war. If I want God, then I'm going to win. If I want the devil, then the devil's going to win. Are you listening here? So see, each one of you have to determine, who am I going to serve? Am I going to serve God who's tugging me this way? Or am I going to serve Satan who's pulling me this way? And Satan will use everybody in your bloodline to pull you that way. Come on. All right, God said the prodigals are coming home. I need you to be there with open arms, welcoming them into my love and peace. I need your mouths cleansed, and I need your mouths pliable to be used at any given moment to tell my heavenly kingdom. And that's 2 Timothy 4:2. Let's read that again. The prodigals, those are the ones who used to sit in the house of God and decided to walk out of the house of God. Well, you remained in the house of God, going through your siftings, and they were out there having a good time for a season, but now they say, oh, I made a mistake. Now I'm going to go back into the house of God. And you have to welcome them with open arms. They might have hurt you when they left. You know, they might have said something against you when they left. You're supposed to welcome them back with open arms. 2 Timothy 4:2 tells you about that. But let's read that again. The prodigals are coming home. This is what he says. I need you to be there with open arms and welcoming them into my love and peace. I need your mouths cleansed, and I need your mouths pliable to be used at any given moment to tell my heavenly kingdom. That you can't seal your lips and not let God use you to speak love into them, no matter what they've done. Well, you know, when I was first born again, you know, they told me that my husband could be saved and go to heaven. And I said, what? You know, I said, you mean to tell me I lived all my life for God, and he lived all his life doing the things he did, and all he had to do is say, forgive me, and he'd go to heaven too? And they said, yeah. And I said, no, I can't believe that. I didn't think he should be able to. I thought after all, he was out there really having himself a good time while I was serving God. Are you understanding this? Some of you thought that way too. But we can't feel that way. All right, God said, do you see what the enemy has done? Look around about you. Open up your eyes. There is more to this world than your small space of activity, period. The enemy is destroying America from within, and there is not enough standing in the gap. And as God spoke that to me, I was really hoping and praying that this church is standing in the gap. I know we don't have very many turnout for prayer meeting anymore, which really bothers me, because prayer, you know, is the core of a church. Maybe two show up for prayer meeting, and that's not right. There's more than that sitting in here this morning. Do you not see what the enemy has done? Look around about you and open up your eyes. There is more to this world than your small space of activity. The enemy is destroying America from within, and there is not enough standing in the gap. In other words, there's not enough Christians praying so you untie God's hands and he can do the things he has to do in order to bring about what he's going to bring about. All right? God said, my church has failed in its mission. See that? My church has become weak and pliable in the enemy's hands. but I have come to undo the enemy's evil schemes. I have come to bring my glory in all its fullness. When this happens, you shall see great signs, wonders, and miracles. You know, but quit waiting for the glory. We should be about the Father's business right now. Not when the glory hits, but right now. And you know, we can't grow weary in telling anybody anything about God. What was it, 400 years they talked about Jesus coming? And then there was one man that he wasn't going to die until he saw Jesus. And when he saw Jesus, he died. But, you know, 400 years is a long time. And I forgot how many years it's been since God started telling me the glory was coming. But it's been a season. But it is coming. And it's already here. But we are not walking in it because we don't see nothing. You know, in order to see something, you have to do something. You have to step out there by faith and just start doing. All right? And when I was first born again, I read in the Word where, you know, you could heal the sick, you could raise the dead. I believed all that. And so I went out and just did it. The only thing I didn't accomplish was walking on water. Last night I was thinking about that again, and I like to kick myself if I could have, because I said I could have walked on that in that mud puddle. I really could have. But I looked at it and I said, I don't think I can do that. So I couldn't. You understand that. But anything else, everything else I believed I could do, and I did it. And God said, you have to take the first step, and when you take the first step, I'll do the rest. You know, when Barbara and them used to be out on the streets, they had quite a time out there. I think, who brought Brother Skip into the church? Huh? Okay, well, one of you prayed for him, and well, you laid your hand right where the sickness was, and he was healed. I don't know if you even know that or not. You know, and then that's how that happened. But you, if you wouldn't have been out there, you wouldn't have touched him. He wouldn't have got healed, and he wouldn't be sitting in the house of God. So as long as you're sitting inside these four walls doing nothing, we're going to have nothing. You're going to have to go out there, and it says compel them to come in. All right? All right, God said, children, it is time you quit hiding in the dark. It is time to bring your light into this darkened world and destroy the works of the enemy. Once and for all, period. I am that I am. Is on the scene, and all of my fullness, the fullness of time has come, and the works must be completed. And you find that in Galatians 4:4-5, Ephesians 1:10. Now, the fullness of time right now refers to God bringing his glory in this dispensation of time to pave the way for the second coming of his son, Jesus. I really studied and looked up quite a bit about the fullness of time and what all the different times it was the fullness of time, and right now is the fullness of time for the glory. Right now is the fullness of time for the greater works. This is the time. It is here, and we need to be about the Father's business. Now, you know, we first started a church. I had the church. We went somewhere every day. We were always doing something for God. And people say, you can't do what you're doing. I said, well, yeah, I can. And I just go do it. You know? When we went and when the old mall, Blue Hen Mall, was there, I just told the people, or Teresa did, or somebody did, set us up so we could go up there and sing. And my praise and worship leader said, we couldn't even sing. he was even embarrassed to be part of our little group. But he said he couldn't believe it. He watched the people bring chairs out and set. We had a whole theater, people watching us sing. And they were touched by God. And all I did was just took a step of faith that we could do this thing. And people need this. And it happened. But I don't see that happening. We aren't doing nothing anymore for God except sitting in here. Wrong. Wrong. If you try to set anything up, well, I have that Saturday field. I can't do it that Saturday. Well, I can't go out Thursday night because after all, I've been in church, you know, Tuesday night and Wednesday night and Sunday night, and I can't go Thursday night. I'm just saying this is how people think. God is not top priority like your own life is, your own little space as God called it is. If you're organized, you can do anything and get everything done. If you put God first, he makes sure that everything gets done. But you have to put him first in all things. Okay, God said the angelic hosts are standing by in array, waiting for your orders. We still haven't used that yet, have we? I don't think we've called on our angels to the fullness like we should. We probably call on them, and I do, but I don't think I still don't feel like we're doing it properly. I still feel like we should see angelic beings all the time around us. I still think that we should be like Smith Wigglesworth and have them come into our bedrooms and say, get up. And they're sitting there in a rocking chair in the bed. They said, God wants to tell you something. We don't see that. But God's saying that we should. So I've been really looking at angels and everything else, trying to get God to tell me exactly what we're doing wrong. Because we used to people see angels standing back here, you know, and everything, and we aren't seeing that. Something's amiss. And see, this is what we have to do when we know something's amiss. We just don't slide over it. We need to stop and seek God's face so we get the answer. Are you understanding this? Okay, the angelic hosts are standing in array waiting for your orders. Take them into battle with you and allow them to fight your battles so you can be about the Father's business. The Father's business is souls. The time of your great harvest has begun. The time has come when all who are called by my name shall go forth doing great exploits for me. The fullness of time, again, the time has come when all who are called by my name shall go forth doing great exploits for me. What kind of exploits are you doing for God? I remember one of the great prophets when she first started. She and another prophet would just go and sit on a bench, you know, on the sidewalk when they had the benches on the sidewalk, and just as people go by, say, God wants to talk to you, you know. And they'd come over and you know, and they start prophesying to him, and they weren't afraid of what people were going to say. And then they would talk to people and win them to Christ. You know, maybe you need to go sit in the mall. I don't know what the mall's like anymore. Maybe they have chairs in there or something. And just sit there and let the Holy Spirit, you know, direct you who to call to you. And then start ministering to them. You see that? Who is it? We knew somebody who used to go into the restaurants. I can't remember. And that's all they did was go around and prophesying to people at the tables. Huh? Isabel? But that's all they did was just prophesy to the people in the restaurants. The people didn't say, will you talk to me? She just go and sit down and say, God's got a word for you. And she'd give it. She was really bold. See, we have no boldness about us. Well, I'm not going to do that. They probably slap me. Well, they might. But then you also might win them to Christ. You know, Alan's out there. He's working around doing carpentry work. You know, he could just, you know, say, you know, that God has a word for you. You know, whether you hear that or not, God has a word for you, and let God use you to give a word. The word is, I don't hear God's voice, so we'll do it some other time. No, God said, if you just take the first step, I'll do whatever needs to be done. You know, sometime I'll say to you, you go up there, you have a word for that person. They look at me, I do. They just go do it. And they go do it, and he you do. God's trying to teach you just to go and do. When I worked at the college, I'd tell the people, you know, this is what God told me about you last night. They looked at me like I was crazy, but it was always true. If it didn't, it wasn't happening, it happened. And they thought there was something weird about me at first, but then they got used to me. But, you know, I could have not never said anything to them. But God did, you know, he would tell me something about somebody. See, but you know, the reason why God did it is because I was constantly seeking his face, constantly talking to him. I surrender myself to him and say, God, use me in any way you want to use me. And the Bible says be instant in season and out of season. You guys there, you have people I know that God would like to use you to prophesy to. Your own nationality. Are you open for God to use you? This is it. Are you really open for God to use you? You still fighting all your own battles. Now, this morning I sat down and said, "Well, God, I haven't given a word for a couple of days. Would you give me a word?" And I put my little, date down there and my name, and I sat. And I sat. And I sat. And I said, "God, I don't hear anything." He said, "I'm not talking." So I shut my computer down. See, I can't make him do that. And then I got to thinking, a lot of the prophets who used to do it every day are not doing it every day anymore. Why? God's tired of talking. And people are not listening. And so now you're going to have to start believing, and you're going to have to start doing so that we hear God's voice again. Are you okay? Deborah, are you sitting at God's feet and listening for his voice? That's what God told me to ask you. Then why aren't you hearing he's saying? All right. I didn't want an answer. But see, this is it. Maybe he has nothing to say, too. But we have to do what God calls us to do. And he says, "Okay, I want you to, well, okay, this one pastor I was under, God woke her up at 3 o'clock in the morning to order to go somewhere, some certain street." And so she did that. She went down there and stood in the corner at 3 o'clock in the morning. Not a soul anywhere. Nothing ever happened. So she went back and went home, and she said, "God, why did you have me do that?" He said, "I want you to see if you'd be obedient." When absolutely nothing there, but would she get up, get dressed at 3 o'clock, get in her car, and drive to that spot? I know a lot of us in here this morning, God wake us up and say, at 3 o'clock, say, "Get dressed and go down to so-and-so street." We'd say, "How about in the morning?" Amen. But see, that's not obedience. Where am I at? All right. God said, "The test of time has come. All that can be tested is on the line. Everything in you that can be tested is being tested right now. I am doing a mighty work within you at this given time. The enemy will not be able to undo this work as he has in the past." Let's read this again. "The test of time has come. All that can be tested is on the line. I am doing a mighty work within each one of us," all right? "At this given time," period, "the enemy will not be able to undo this work." This testing that we're going through is finishing it, as he has in the past. We know in the past he's always come and undone what God did, and there we go again. God said, "This time it's not going to happen. You've gone through your test. The test is done, and we're moving on." God said, at this given moment right now, you are riding on the glory train. And you will stay on this train until my son comes back for his bride." And then I wrote, God's glory is not going to cease, because that's what he told me before. When it comes, it's not going to cease. So guys, you are on the glory train, but you're not really fully understanding that. And so you're still waiting for something else to occur, and it's not going to occur. All you have to do now is just step out there and do. God's glory is with you. God's glory is going to bring the signs, wonders, and miracles if you step out there and do. It's not going to happen if you just sit in your home. It's not going to happen if you're just sitting in your car. It's going to happen as you go forth and start doing something for the Father. You just might say, "Okay, God, I'm going to call Astra today, and we're just going to go down and walk around Walmart, and we would like for you to point out some people for us to minister to." And so you do that, by faith you do that, and you go to Walmart and you walk around, but God doesn't show you anybody. But see, he's watching you, your act of faith that you went out there. Now, are you going to say, "Well, that didn't work. I'm not going to do that anymore"? Or are you going to say, "Okay, now tomorrow we'll go again"? You see how this works? And then if you go again and it still doesn't work, then you go again. God says, "Okay, these guys they mean business. They really want me to work through them." And then he'll start working through you. Are you hearing here? God says, children, this season is like none other. You will witness things you have never seen before. You talk about blind eyes being opened. Just you wait and see what I have done for you. I have prepared a way in the wilderness that none other has traveled. See this? We are going to be doing things, guys, that has not been seen before. I might be getting ahead of myself. All right, I said, I have prepared a way in the wilderness that none other has traveled. You are preparing this path for others to follow. This path is a miracle path that has never been seen before. No one will be able to ride on your coattails. You have paid the ultimate price to ride this glory train, and ride you shall. Are you ready? Are you really ready? God is on the scene. And God wants to use you. God said, you are pumped up for this great visitation, and I have come upon the scene. And I know some of you are really pumped up. Yeah, and I pray, God, please move through them. Please let them see what you know, how powerful you are. But he said, you are pumped up for this great visitation. Fullness time is here. Fullness time is overtaking you. Walk in that fullness tonight. And that's in Galatians 4, 4 through 5. Walk in that glory realm and go forth doing the miraculous. I'm telling you guys, if you will just believe what God spoke here tonight or this morning, and you just by faith go out. You know, what you need to do is you need to say, God, let my light be so bright around about me, let it be emanating from me, that it will touch people's lives just as I walk somewhere. You don't have to say a word to the person. You don't have to touch a person. You just go, and as you walk through Walmart, your glory will be, the glory of God will be so strong, and your light will emanate all around that area wherever you're walking, and it'll touch people without you even knowing it. And you might be like me, where the lady walked up to me in the grocery store and said, what did you do to me? I didn't do nothing. You touched me. No, I didn't touch her. I walked by her with my grocery cart. And the glory of God just reached over and touched her. See, so you don't have to go out there and be touching people, talking to people. Just go out there and walk around in the store somewhere and just let your light and your glory that's in you pour out upon the people. You know. But it's not going to touch nobody sitting in your house except you. Who is it? I can't remember her name, but God comes and visits her in her house all the time. And the angels came one day when she was sitting on the sofa. And then so she told her friends, come and sit on the sofa. Yeah, Kathy Walters. And so people started coming knock to her. I want to sit on your sofa. And the glory of God would hit them and knock them out. And see, they weren't there. She wasn't doing anything, but the angels came and talked to her, and the glory stayed. So what we need to do is to be so full of the glory that we could just say to people, come. Well, people used to just come and say, can I just come and sit in the sanctuary when I had the church at home? Can I just come and sit in the sanctuary? I said, sure. And they would just come in there all by themselves any hours of the day and just sit there and let the glory of God just saturate them, but they wouldn't come to church. But they would come there and just let the glory of God. They didn't know what it was, and I told them, but they didn't believe in that kind of stuff, so they wouldn't come to the church services, but they would come just to be in the house. Then people, you say, just be in your house. It isn't happening right now because there's too much junk in my house. But then you say, I just want to come visit you just because of the presence of God that's there. You see that? So just keep the presence of God in your home. And then as people come in, you won't need to say nothing. You don't need to show off. The glory of God will just touch them, and then they'll start talking to you about what's going on here. Why is this happening? So we have to do something, though, guys. We have to start moving. We have to start trusting and believing God that we're so full of the glory, like he said, that no matter what every place you're, if you're really following God with all your heart, every place you walk becomes holy ground. I know the some churches used to like say to walk the mall and just speak, the glory's here, the glory's here, the glory's here. And that's all they would do, just walk the mall. So how many of you ladies are, well, most people have to shop online now. But when you go out shopping, why don't you say, God, every place, I used to do this. God, you told me every place I place my foot become holy ground. So every place I walk in this store today is holy ground. See, that is working for God. That is bringing a presence of the Father in these dark places. And people are going to walk there and they're going to wonder what's going on with them because that glory that you left there is changing their lives. You don't understand how important just you being out there. All right, even when you're selling houses, like you said with your house, people said the glory of God's in your new home you haven't even moved into yet. But just it going out and selling houses, as you walk through those houses you're trying to sell, the glory of God is deposited there, and God can sell that house. Are you listening here? God said, I am that I am is on the scene. And he so wants you people to get so alive in Christ today, this morning, that no matter where you go, he can start using you. I want you too just to concentrate on no matter where I go today, if you work, I'm taking God into work with me. You don't have to say, babe, I go to a spirit-filled church. You don't have to say that kind of stuff. You don't have to say nothing. Just take the glory of God with you and let the glory of God pour out of you onto the other people. And you watch and see what's going to be happening to the people you do work, right? You just watch and see what's going to happen to the people that you work with. They'll start changing, not because of what you said, but just because you are. Are you ready for that? And here, this is what God's going to do, and I see this in the spirit realm. He wants whoever wants the glory, light, to emanate from them wherever they go. You come to the altar because I see you. He's just making you like a big light, a big beam of light is coming down on you, and you're going to carry that glory light wherever you go.